All right, at this time we'll have a prayer before we get into the main message. So if you'd all please stand, you don't have to move. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, asking for a blessing on the service. We ask, Father, that you would touch us, that you would cause each one of us to be drawn closer to you, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive this implanted word, Father, that you prepared for us this day. We ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us, that you would cause us to truly want to be your servant. Father, we do need more of your Holy Spirit, and we know your Holy Spirit comes by us committing our lives to you, yielding ourselves to you, and being humble. And as we are humble, Father, you grant us that gift, that free gift, that repentance and baptism. You give us the gift of your Holy Spirit, Father. And we thank you for that gift. And we ask, Father, that it would lift us up and cause us to be drawn closer to you. And that you would help us, Father, to touch each and everyone around us. That our lives would just be a blessing to all those that know us. That they would give praise to your holy name. So, Father, as we go into your word this day, we look forward to gaining a closer understanding, to be reconnected to you as we seek, Father, to be at one with you. We want to be your people, Father. We know that you have a people here on this earth in these last days, and we want to be that people. So we thank you, Father, for calling us out of this sinful world into your marvelous life. And we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And in his holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Can you all be seated? I've entitled this message, Connected to the Source, Part 4. And I've been preaching this series as I'm traveling this summer for a reason. Almighty Yahweh wants his people to be at one with him. The only way to do this is to be connected to the Source, to be connected to Yahweh. We must be willing to give up our will and submit to his holy will. Remember, Yahweh is three times holier than we can ever be, Isaiah 6:3. Satan will use every relationship you have to pull you away from Yahweh. He is constantly scheming to put a barrier between you and Almighty Yahweh. Satan is the deceiver of the whole world. Take your scriptures in hand. I do have a Bible over there if you want to. Let me grab. Okay. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 12. And verse 9. Revelation 12, 9. It says, and the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. So we see here that Satan is the deceiver of the whole world. Now read verses 7 and 8 as well, and it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael, which means Michael, who is like El, and who is like the Father, and that's the Son, Yahshua, and his angels, going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred with his angels, and they prevailed not. They did not prevail. Neither was their peace found any more in heaven. They were cast down to the earth. See? This is why we have to be concerned. But we know that Almighty Yahweh is the giver of all good things. So when we go back to our core scripture in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 3. We've been using this throughout the whole series because this is where the basis of this war of words is coming from. It's a war that starts right with our mouths. See, because there was no lie before Satan the deceiver got involved and deceived Eve. So and we'll start in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, as Elohim said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. And what it says in the Hebrew is, dying you shall not die, which is a lie. See, he deceived her, okay? And see, she had only knew the truth prior to that, see? Satan lied to Eve, and she had only heard the truth prior to that. She had no experience with deception. She didn't know what a lie was because it had never been told. Okay? In verse 5, it says, "For Elohim knows that in the day that you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened. And you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil." And this is a problem for mankind a lot of times, because if Yahweh tells us not to do something, and we are given the instruction in the scriptures of things that we cannot do, we don't have to worry about that. We shouldn't even wonder about that. He knows what's good for us. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 1. See, we're not to hate we're not to hate anyone, but we're supposed to hate the sin, not the sinner. It says, "But I determined this for myself, that I would not come to you again with sorrow. For if I make you sorry, who then is he that makes me glad but he that is made sorry by me? And I wrote this very thing," this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, "lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I sought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be made sorry, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly to you." So Paul was really concerned about this sin that he was writing about to the Corinthian brethren. In verse 5 it says, "But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in part, that I press not too heavily, but to you all." See? "Sufficient to the one is the punishment which was inflicted by the many, so that you should rather forgive him and comfort him, lest by any means such a one should be swallowed up with his sorrow. Therefore, I beseech you to confirm your love toward him. For to this end I did also write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you were obedient in all things. But to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For what have I also forgiven? If I have forgiven anything for your sakes, I have forgiven it in the presence of the Messiah, that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Because we know his total being is to divide and conquer. He wants to separate us from the source. He wants to take us away from Almighty Yahweh, as he did with Eve and Adam. Like I said, we're not to hate the sinner, but the sin. Satan has corrupted the word of Yahweh. I'm going to finish here, because we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. it says here, now when I came to Troas for the good tidings of the Messiah, when a door was opened to me in Yahshua, I had no relief for my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went forth into Macedonia, which is Greece. But thanks be to Elohim, who always leads us in triumph in the Messiah and makes manifest through us the savor of his knowledge in every place. For we are a sweet savor of the Messiah to Yahweh, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one a savor from death to death, and to the other a savor from life to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as the many corrupting the word of Yahweh, because that's what's going on in the world today. Most of the ministers out here are corrupting the word of Yahweh because Satan has led them to deceptive practices to teach things that are not true. You think about some of these things that are being taught. This is how Satan operates. This whole program is designed to deceive the world. Like I said in Revelation 12, he's the deceiver of the whole world. Now, 99.9% of the world is deceived, you might say. Because when you think about it, all right, and I can give you a good example. I have an uncle, well, he's passed away now, my father's brother, who is Muslim. Very devout man. I loved him dearly. He was very, very devout in what he believed. He was the one, when I was a child, told me I'm not supposed to eat pork. And he showed me right in, not only the Quran, he showed me in the Bible, where it says we're not supposed to eat pork. And we know recently, I know Joel Osteen told his whole congregation they had to go kosher. You know, you can't eat pork anymore because this is what the scriptures teach. So what I'm saying is the word, the truth is here. The question is, are we going to accept the truth and walk in that way? And this is what Yahweh wants us to do. When we accept the Messiah, we have to accept everything. And what was the Messiah? He was a Jew. He was Yahudi, one who praises Yahweh. And in John 4:22, it says, and this is the problem that I had with my uncle, even though he was a very devout man, John 4:22 says, salvation is of the Jews. Okay? It's not Buddha. It's not Islam. You think about it, it's of the Jews. And that means that we have to be spiritual Jews. Yahudim. The word means one who praises Yahweh. That's what Yahudim means. Okay? I'll give you a turn to Genesis. We've done this many times, but I like to do it. Genesis 29:35. And this is Leah. It says, and she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, this time will I praise Yahweh. Therefore she called his name Yehuda and left off there. Okay? That's Genesis 29:35. Every name has a meaning in Hebrew. Every name has a meaning. Every word has a purpose. That's why it's so important for us to understand the words that we speak. It says in verse 17 again, for we are not as the many corrupting the word of Yahweh, but as sincerity, but as Yahweh in the sight of Elohim speak we in the Messiah. If we're trying to speak as the Messiah spoke, we're trying to walk in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah. He was different from all of the others that came before him and that came after him. See? Because he tried to show us a relationship that he had with the Father. He tried to bring us into that relationship. And that's what we want. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 6. We'll start in 6. We left off in 5. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eye, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit of it and did eat." See, it was pleasing to her eyes. And a lot of people, that's just like somebody walking down the street with AIDS. Beautiful woman or man walking down the street with AIDS. You can't see what's inside. All you can see is that physical. See, and that's what happens with most of us in this life. We get caught up in the physical and what our eyes, the lust of the eyes. But see, we have to go a little deeper. Because Satan had already lied to her and got her to, okay, I can eat this. I can do this. She was already told she couldn't. Yahweh had already commanded her, of that tree you can't touch. You're not even supposed to have anything to do with it. But Satan went and told her, oh, you can do that. Dying, you will not die. She saw that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took up the fruit of it and did eat. And she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim among the trees of the garden. That's why our kids, when they do something wrong, and they know that the parents are coming in, they'll hide. See? That. But see, you know what? Prior to that, they didn't do that. They didn't hide themselves. They were naked. They didn't hide from Yahweh. They didn't have that knowledge of evil. And see, this is the problem. By corrupting the word of Yahweh, Satan caused the fall of man because they didn't trust the words of Yahweh. And that's what we have to do, brother. We have to trust the word of Yahweh. When we read it, we have to trust it. We have to believe it. That means we do it. See? And not many people in the world will do it. They're not going to follow it because they've been taught. It's like I was raised a Christian, okay, in the Methodist Church. My mother and father are still members of that church. And what happens is that if you have an upbringing in a certain area, in a certain way, this is what you're taught as truth. But when your eyes are truly open to the word of Yahweh, and he shows you his commandments, and it tells us, what's the fourth commandment? It's to keep the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Sunday's not the Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. See, so when we discuss this and we share it, and the Bible tells me I'm supposed to do it, just like I'm not supposed to be poor, I'm going to do it because that's what the word of Yahweh tells me to do. So therefore, you know, we know Satan has corrupted the word of Yahweh, and he's taken people's minds and caused them to be disconnected from Yahweh. And what we're trying to do through the word of Yahweh is bring people, connect them back to the source. See? Continuing in verse 9, it says, "And Yahweh Elohim called unto the man and said, Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, The woman, he threw her under the bus. He just threw Eve under the bus. The woman whom you gave me," he's blaming Yahweh too. See, not only is he blaming her, but he's blaming Yahweh. It's the woman that you gave me. See, think about what we say when we say it, brother. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. But he was also commanded. He knew not to eat it. He could have said no. See, but too often we will follow our women, and we will do what they want us to do. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, he tricked me, and I did eat. See? He lied to me. See, that's going to happen in our lives, brethren. Satan is going to lie to us. He's going to come to us, like it says, as a minister of righteousness. You understand? He's going to have all the flowery words. He's going to have everything that he's got, the whole total package. See? But the thing is, one part of that package is going to be missing. He's going to lie to you. He's going to try to get you to corrupt the word of Yahweh. He's going to try to get you to be disconnected from the source, because he's going to try to get you to sin. It might not be overt. It's not going to be overt. He's very subtle, as it says. The serpent was the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. So how can we recognize? And there are some things that we're going to get into to show you how to recognize it. But I want to finish this passage here down to verse 15. It says, and Elohim said unto the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. By corrupting the word of Yahweh, Satan caused the fall of man, because they did not trust the word of Yahweh. And that's something that we have to do, brother. Drop down to verse 22. We have to trust Yahweh. It says, and Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now let me put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. So he had that opportunity to eat from the tree of life before he did this. See? But he probably would have known after doing that, once he had eternal life, that he didn't need that. But no, it's from the knowledge tree of good and evil. They could have had eternal life, but they chose to follow the deceiver, Satan. Yahweh only wants us to know the good, brother. Yahweh wants us to know the good only. Not the evil. Just like our children. We want our children to know good. We want them to have the best. We don't want them to have any evil. We don't give them serpents to play with. We don't put them in a situation that's going to harm them. And Yahweh didn't do it for us. He didn't want us to be in a bad situation. Therefore Yahweh in verse 23, Elohim sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east end of the Garden of Eden a cherubim and the flame of a sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The Yahweh had to protect man from becoming eternal after he had that knowledge of good and evil. See, because now he knows evil. He only wanted them to know the good. Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to look at Proverbs 16, verse 2. It says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the spirit. Commit your works to Yahweh, and your purposes shall be established. Yahweh has made everything for its own end, yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to Yahweh. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity, sin, is atoned for. And by the fear of Yahweh, men depart from evil. So it's by the fear of Yahweh that men depart from evil. We're not going to be a part of it. It's through that fear. When a man's ways please Yahweh, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with them. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. A man's heart devises his way, but Yahweh directs his steps. And that's what we need to know. Yahweh is the one that's going to direct our steps. We want to follow that pathway that Yahweh has given us. And he has given them to us, and they're called his commandments. His commandments. Turn to Isaiah 30, chapter 33. We'll start at verse 7. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 7. It says, "Behold, the valiant ones cry outside. The ambassadors of peace weep bitterly. The ambassadors of peace. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceases. The enemy has broken the covenant. He has despised the city. He regards not man. The land mourns and languishes. Lebanon is confounded and withers away. Sharon is like a desert, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their leaves. Now will I arise, says Yahweh. Now will I lift up myself. Now will I be exalted. You shall conceive chaff. You shall bring forth stubble. Your breath is a fire that shall devour you. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut down that are burnt in the fire. Hear you that are far off what I have done, and you that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid, trembling as seized the lawless one. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire?" And we know Yahweh is a devouring fire. He's going to burn up the chaff. He's going to destroy those that are wicked, those that are evil. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with the everlasting burning? He that walks righteously and speaks uprightly. In other words, they're speaking the words of Yahweh. They're not speaking their own words. He that despises the gain of oppression, that shakes his hands from taking a bribe, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. And he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. His bread shall be given to him. His water shall be sure. We talked about the bread of heaven. We talked about the bread of the earth. Most people are seeking the bread of this life. They want what's physical. They want. Not the spiritual bread, Yahshua the Messiah. They want this physical bread. But he that speaks uprightly, when he learns to speak uprightly, we speak Yahweh's words and not our own. As ambassadors of peace, we must speak the words of the one who has sent us. And Yahweh has placed us here on this earth for a purpose, brother. Yahshua spoke Yahweh's words, and we must do the same. We have to follow in his footsteps. How do we speak only Yahweh's words and not our own? In this book I'm reading, War on Words, War of Words, I want to read a passage from here. It says, we need to speak with an understanding that we are Yahweh's ambassadors. A political ambassador is someone who has been called from his or her homeland to live in another and represent the message, methods, and character of his leader, whether it's the president, king, prime minister, but ours is Yahweh. We're pilgrims in this land. Paul's message here is radical and dramatic. We have been called to be ambassadors of the king. Yahweh has put us just where he wants us to represent him. If I am ever going to speak as he has ordained for me to speak, I must be aware of my ambassador status. I am where I am because I am called to represent Yahweh. Paul says that for the true worshiper, the old life that was structured around self-interest is gone. We are a new creation. The old has passed away. Dead and gone is the life in which we only served our own interests and did just about anything to get what we wanted. Now, Paul says that we have been reconciled to Yahweh, and this has given us a new ministry, his work of reconciliation. You have been sent by the king to speak for him. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 1. Remember, this message is connected to the source. That's the title of it. And this is part 4. What we're trying to do is get reconnected. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Yahweh. And see, if Adam and Eve would have believed in Yahweh, they would not have succumbed to the trickery or the lie of Satan the devil. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. I come again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way. Thomas says to him, Rabbi, we know not where you go. How do we know the way? Yahshua says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip says to him, Rabbi, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Yahshua says to him, have I been so long a time with you, and do you not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How say you, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? That the words that I say to you, I speak not for myself? So Yahshua spoke Yahweh's words. He didn't speak his own words. The words that I say to you, I speak not for myself, but the Father remaining in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very word's sake. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Are we doing greater works than what Yahshua did? He tells us that we can do that. He tells us that we can do it. And whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now that's why it's so important for us to know the right name. Yahshua the Messiah is the name of the Son. He had the same name of the general that took over for Moses. In Acts 4, 10 to 12, let's go there real quick, and then we'll go back. Just hold your place here in John 14. We'll go over to Acts. Verse 10, it says, in Acts 4, 10 to 12, it says, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Yahshua the Messiah of Nazareth, whom you impaled, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, even in this name does this man stand before you whole. He is the stone which was rejected of you, the builders, which was made the head of the corner. And in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men in which we must be saved. So there's only one name that we could be saved, Yahshua the Messiah. Back to John 14. He says, and whatever you shall ask in my name, verse 13, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that's important, brother. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That it may be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive, for beholds it not, neither knows it. You know it, for it remains with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I come to you. The world has the spirit of Satan the devil. You think about it. Yahshua cast out 7 demons out of Miriam Magdalene. Okay? When you come to Yahshua, you get rid of your demons. You get rid of those. See, Satan, even we read this in John 13, when we went through the book and we were dealing with this, when he told Judas Iscariot, and Satan entered into him. You understand? You see that in the woman. The demons can enter into you. They can possess you. But the Holy Spirit is a part of you. And the two can't come together. They can't exist in the same space. That's like two opposing opinions can't exist in your mind at the same time. You're going to take the one or the other. And this is why it's so important for us to know the word of Yahweh, to use and to speak what Yahshua was teaching us to speak. Because he spoke Yahweh's word. Satan corrupted those words. And this is why we have to overcome. See? He says in verse 18, I will not leave you desolate. I come to you yet a little while, and the world beholds me no more. But you behold me because I live, and you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judah, not Iscariot, said to him. See, and the word is Yehuda, because there are no J's in Hebrew. Okay, that's an English letter, wasn't invented until the 15th century. He comes to him and says, Teacher, what has come to pass that you have manifested yourself to us and not to the world? Yahshua answered and said to him, If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So that's why it's important for us to understand words we're listening to, whether it's Yahweh's or Satan. These things have I spoken to you while yet remaining with you, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, it shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. You heard how I said to you, I go away, I come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no more speak much with you, for the prince of the world comes, and he has nothing with me. Talking about Satan the devil. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go from this place. So how do we speak only Yahweh's words and not our own? We have to do what the book says here in John 14. We're going to have to speak only what Yahshua taught us through the Holy Spirit. So that's point number one. Point two is the myth of the king. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We start in verse 15. It says, and he died for all, that they that live should no longer live to themselves, but to him who for their sake died and rose again. So it's talking about Yahshua the Messiah. We're no longer to live after our own lives, after ourselves, but after Yahshua. Therefore, in verse 16, we from here only know no man after the flesh, even though we have known the Messiah after the flesh, yet now we know him so no more. Therefore, if any man is in the Messiah, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they have become new. But all things are of Yahweh, who reconciled us to himself through the Messiah and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that Yahweh was in the Messiah, reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning to them their trespasses, their sins, and having committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of the Messiah, as though Yahweh were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of the Messiah, be reconciled to Yahweh. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of Yahweh in him. So it's only through Yahshua the Messiah that we have that reconciliation, that we have salvation because of him and his life. He took on the sin. Even though he lived a life without sin, he cleansed our sin through his shed blood. Point three, the method of the king. Ambassadors need to speak with an understanding of the king's method. So we have to know how the king operates. Okay? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we have to become, just like Yahshua, self-sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. For I say, through the grace that was given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as Yahweh has dealt to each man a measure of faith. For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, who are many, are one body in the Messiah, and severally members one of another, and having different gifts according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry. For he that teaches to his teaching, for he that exhorts, it is exhorting. He that gives, let him do it with all liberality. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy is cheerful. It is a contrary to what Satan wants you to do. See, because you're overcoming those evil and worldly desires. Verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Hate that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another. In honor, preferring one another. In diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, communicating the necessities of the saints, given the hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. That's hard to do, isn't it? See? But this is what we have to do to show that we are his people. We have overcome this world. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on the high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceit. Render to no man evil for evil. Yahshua could have called down legions of angels to fight for him. But he didn't need to do that because he was giving his life. That's where that self-sacrifice came in. He had to do this to overcome through his blood and have victory over Satan the devil. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath of Elohim. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says Yahweh. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. That's something also that's hard to do for a lot of people. They want to tip the tax. But that's not what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to feed him. If he thirsts, give him the drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's where we are, brethren. That's what we have to do. See? So we see that we have to speak as Yahweh's ambassadors. And we have to take on the mission of the king so that we are in line with his purposes. And the method of the king. As ambassadors, we need to be speaking with an understanding of the king's method. And we saw just right here his methods in Romans chapter 12. Now turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. It says, if there is therefore any exhortation in the Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassion, make full my joy, that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through faction, or through vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting the other better than himself. Not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in the Messiah Yahshua, who existing in the form of Elohim, counted not the being on an equality with Yahweh a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. He came down from his royal estate to be made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even to death, yes, the death of the torture stake. Therefore also Yahweh highly exalted him and gave to him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Yahshua, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yahshua the Messiah is the master to the glory of Yahweh the Father. He's given us three methods to use to change it. One is self-sacrifice. The second is forgiveness. And the third is reconciliation to Yahweh. Matthew 18. We're very familiar with Matthew chapter 18. So I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Matter of fact, our time is short here. You can read verses 15 We know it, but it says Matthew 18:15. And if your brother sins against you, go show him his fault between you and him alone. We do this on a regular, but especially before Passover and before Yom Kippur, there in the temple. You know, because these are two times in a year where we do a serious self-examination. But it says, go show him his fault between you and him alone. See, the key word here is alone. It's just the two of you. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. You've restored that relationship. See? But if he does not hear, you take with you one or two more. That is the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. Because it's very important that this word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the assembly, the administration. And if he refuses to hear the assembly also, let him be to you as the Gentile and the publican. Truly I say to you, whatever things you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever things you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then Peter came and said to him, Rabbi, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? Joshua says to him, I say not to you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents, which is a great sum. But since he had not with which to pay, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you. And the master of that servant, being moved with compassion, he was moved with love, released him and forgave him the debt. He forgave him, which is our second method that Yahweh has given us to use. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 shillings, which is a small amount. And he laid hold on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and supplicated him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison so he should pay that which was due. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told their master all that was done. Then the master called to him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you supplicated me. Should not you have also had mercy on your fellow servant, even as I have mercy on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should have paid all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do to you, if you forgive not everyone. See, this is the key. You've got to hear this part. The people seem to forget that. They don't hear that everyone, okay? If you forgive not everyone his brother from your heart. And that's why it's so important for us to see his methods and put them into practice. Self-sacrifice, forgiveness, and reconciliation. Our words must reach up by the power of his spirit. See? It's the power of his spirit and his standard. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to Elohim is for them that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for Yahweh, but not according to knowledge. And there are a lot of people out here that have that zeal for Yahweh, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of Yahweh's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of Yahweh. For the Messiah is the end. That word means goal, number 5056 in the Greek, of the law to righteousness. In other words, the goal, the Messiah is the goal of the law to righteousness for everyone that believes. For Moses writes that the man that does the righteousness which is of the law shall live by it. But the righteousness which is of faith says this, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring the Messiah down, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring the Messiah up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Because if you shall confess with your mouth that Yahshua is sovereign and shall believe in your heart that Yahweh raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the worshiper of Yahweh, Yahudim, one who praises Yahweh, the Jew, or the Gentile, the Greek. For the same master is sovereign of all and is rich to all that call on him. For whoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be praised. Now, how can they call on the name of Yahweh if they don't know it? And that's why it tells you how can they call, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And you can finish that later. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is that we have to be reconnected to the source. Too many people in these last days have been sitting just truly cut out. He's divided them. He's cut them off. And Judges, if you turn to the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, excuse me, Judges 21, verse 25. I have a note under this. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I have a note that says this is why there was a famine in the book of Ruth, because the book of Ruth is the next book. Now, every man doing what is right in his own eyes means that they feel they know what's right. See, and that's what Satan wants. He wants everybody divided, cut off from the source. Because if you're not connected to Yahweh, then you will go this direction. And somebody's going that direction. Everybody's going in all different directions. And they're not praising Yahweh. They're not giving him the glory that he deserves. Ruth chapter 1. He's just going to go right into that book. Verse 1. It says, and it came to pass in the days when the judges judged that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Yehuda, Bethlehem, Judah, and Bethlehem means the house of bread, brethren. See? That's the birthplace of the Messiah. He is the bread of heaven that feeds the world, spiritual bread, not the bread of this life. See? Yahshua is connecting us to Yahweh through the spiritual bread. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years, and Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them, and the woman was left. The woman was left without her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return to the country of from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how Yahweh had visited his people in giving them bread. See? Again, they're talking about physical bread. But we're talking about spiritual bread here, brother. To be reconnected to the source, we have to have that bread of heaven, Yahshua the Messiah. And she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to her mother's house. May Yahweh deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May Yahweh grant you that you find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, no, but we will return with you to your people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb, that they might be your husbands? Because in Israel we had deliberate marriage, where if the son died, then the next son would raise up a son to that man's name. Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope. If I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you stay from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sake. For the hand of Yahweh has gone forth against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her Elohim. Return after your sister-in-law. And Ruth said, do not ask me to leave you and to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your Elohim, my Elohim. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May Yahweh do so to me, and more also, if anything but death depart you and me. And when she saw that she had strengthened herself to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. See, Ruth clung to not only Naomi, but Naomi's Elohim, her mighty one, because she had the true mighty one. So she followed Naomi, and she received a blessing for that. As a matter of fact, the child that she had through that still lived with marriage, because it was a near kinsman that married her. See? And they raised up a child that was in the lineage of the Messiah. What I'm saying is Ruth stayed connected to the source. She didn't go back to the Elohim of her father. She continued on with Naomi back to Judah. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Excuse me. Verse 11. It says, "Behold, the days come," says the sovereign Yahweh, "that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of Yahweh. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of Yahweh, and they shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst, they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, 'As your mighty one, O Dan, lives, and as the way of Beersheba lives,' they shall fall and never rise up again. There is a famine in Israel and the world yet today of hearing the word of Yahweh." Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. Then come, let us return to Yahweh, to Shuvah, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has struck and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. Let us follow on to know Yahweh. His going forth is sure as the morning, and he will come to us as the rain, and as the latter rain that waters the earth." We know what water does for the earth. It does nourish it. "O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the dew that goes early away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have killed them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are as the light that goes forth. For I desire goodness and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. But they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of those that work iniquity. It is stained with blood, and as a troop of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way towards Shechem. Yes, they have committed lewdness in the house of Israel. I have seen a horrible thing. Their whoredom is found in Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, there is a harvest appointed for you when I bring back the captivity of my people." And that captivity is coming very shortly, brothers. See? Israel was in, they went into captivity for 490 years times seven, actually. And this is coming out of captivity. Judah only went for 70 years. They went to the land of Babylon, and they were sent back after the Medes and the Persians, who were Israel, actually. They sent them back. Hosea chapter 10. In verse 1 it says, "Israel is a luxuriant vine that puts forth its fruit. According to the abundance of its fruit, it has multiplied its altars. According to the goodness of their land, they have made good pillars. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found guilty. He will break down their altars. He will destroy their pillars. Surely now shall they say, 'We have no king, for we fear not Yahweh. And the king, what can he do for us?'" Israel had two sites that they worshiped their more or less golden calves or whatever. And Dan and Samaria. Well, Bethel. Dan and Bethel. And Bethel was in Samaria. So that's why he says they were, their heart is divided. But they went after the mighty ones of the Gentiles around them. And even to this day, they've lost the connection with Yahweh. The Jews have kept the Sabbath, and they know the name. They still know the name, even though they don't use it. There's a ban on the name in Israel of using Yahweh's name. You know, the high priest will still use it, you know, on the Day of Atonement. And they used to go into the temple, and they would use Yahweh's name. It's too sacred to pronounce. They say it's too holy. They will not use the name of Yahweh. See? And they're teaching that to their people. But in verse 4 it says, they speak vain words, swearing falsely and making covenants. Therefore judgments spring up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall be in terror for the calves of Beth-Aven. For the people of it shall mourn over it, and the priests of it that rejoiced over it for the glory of it, because it is departed from it. It also shall be carried to Assyria for a present to King Jareh. Each shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off, as foam upon the waters. The high places also of Avon, the son of Israel, shall be destroyed. And the thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, you have sinned from the days of Gibeon. There they stood, the battle against the children of iniquity does not overtake them in Gibeon. When it is my desire, I will chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they are bound to their two transgressions. And Ephraim is a heifer that is caught, that loves to tread out the grain. But I have passed over upon her fair neck. I will set a rider on Ephraim. Judah shall plow. Jacob shall break his cloth. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap according to kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek Yahweh, brother, till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. And that's what Satan has done to the world. He has fed the world with the fruit of lies. Not only did he do it to Eve, he does it to each and every one of us. For you to trust in your way and in the multitude of your mighty men. Therefore, we have to turn back to Yahweh. We have to show him that we believe and that we are faithful to his word and following in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah. So our closing passage, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. And this is a passage I use often because there's so many people out there that are running to and fro that don't seem to understand that Yahweh is truly still working with his people in these last days. I talked to some of the brethren in Trinidad just recently, and they're excited that I'm going to come down and visit them this summer. But they're saying that several of the brethren don't want to be connected. They want to be out on their own by themselves. They believe that they don't have to be connected to the source. And see, we're trying to show them not only do they need to be connected, that's what Satan wants. He wants to divide everyone up. See? And he wants everybody to seek their own desire. But we have to be connected to Yahweh as one body. It says here in Ephesians 4:1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh, in Yahweh, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you were also called in one hope of your calling, and one master, one faith, and one baptism, one El and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of the Messiah. And I'm hoping that that measure of the gift that has been given to you will raise you up in the last day to meet the Messiah when Yahshua returns to connect us to the source, to Almighty Yahweh. So at this time, if you'll rise, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we come before you again, giving glory to your holy name. We thank you, Father, that you showed us the method, the way to be reconciled to you. We ask, Father, that you would teach us in these last days, that you would cause us to be connected back to you, that we would overcome this world, Satan the devil, through the shed blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Help us, Father, to continually take of the bread of heaven, the manna from on high, Yahshua's shed blood, his body. Father, help us use that bread to overcome this world, to be bound to you, Father. And as we seek to glorify you and to use your word to share with the brethren and those who are seeking to be a part of your kingdom in these last days, we ask, Father, that you would unify your people, each and every one of us that has a hope of the calling to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. We ask, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your planted word, that we would make it a part of us, and that we would show that we are your people by our love one for another. So again, Father, you've given us the method. You've showed us in Romans 12 how to overcome this world and Satan. So help us, Father, to love one another and to do your will without hypocrisy or any enmity against one another. Help us, Father, to feed those that are hungry, to give those drinks that are thirsty, and for us to teach and feed them, those who are starving, who are in the famine of hearing the word of Yahweh. We ask, Father, that they would hear this word and rejoice before you and give glory to your holy name. We thank you again for the shed blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, his great self-sacrifice, Father. Help us, Father, to overcome this world as we follow in the footsteps of your Son. In Yahshua's name we pray, asking all his servants and blessings. Hallelujah. Our closing song, if you'll take your song books in hand, we're going to sing number 30, Let Your Glory Fall.
Father of creation, our soldiers of earth, praise of the chosen.